Hi, and welcome to the Finally Pregnant podcast, the podcast for people who are finally pregnant after infertility and loss. I'm your host, Kat Strawbridge, and after almost 7 years trying with multiple rounds of fertility treatment, which sadly included pregnancy loss, last year I was finally pregnant, and now I'm finally parenting my gorgeous daughter, Ren. I'm delighted to say that this podcast is sponsored by Peanut. Peanut is the app that helps you meet like-minded women who are trying to conceive, pregnant, or already mums. Peanut provides a safe space for women to build friendships, ask questions, and find support. Introducing you to women nearby who are at a similar stage in their journey, Peanut provides access to a community of women who are there to listen, share information, and offer valuable advice. Whether it's understanding IVF, PCOS, miscarriage, or pregnancy and beyond, Peanut is a place to connect with women who understand. I used to go to a weekly rhyme time class with Ren, and between the babies crying, the toddlers singing, and all the general noise and shenanigans, it could be really hard to stop and chat to some of the other mums. So when one of them connected with me on Peanut, it was fab. We made a beeline for each other at the next class and even went for a coffee together afterwards. Because of the app, it meant there was a friendly face in the room, which I have to say was just really lovely. You can download the app for free today. Head to peanut.app.link/finallypregnant or search for Peanut in your app store. And when you do, make sure you head over to the Finally Pregnant group. Hello there, and how are you doing? I hope that you are really, really well. It feels almost too late to talk about Christmas now, but I'll just give you a quick update about ours. It was low key like most, but it was really fun because of Ren. Her favourite word at the moment is wow, 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 wow. And whilst we didn't get that as soon as she walked down and saw the tree and the presents, she was really sweet and she crawled over to different presents and crawling. She is doing more walking, but we're still crawling. It's the quickest way to get from A to B. I appreciate that for her. But yeah, she went over, she got an easel from one of her nanas and she played with that for ages. And then she moved on to another toy and opened it. And she just, it took her a while to understand the concept of opening presents. But actually, once she got into the swing of it, she was all over it like a rash. So I know that next year it's going to be, everything's going to be opened within about 15 seconds. But it was really nice this year just to do a bit at a time. And actually, we didn't even open them all on Christmas Day. We held some back, not deliberately. They just didn't come out of the stocking. So yeah, other than that, pretty low key. I've done a bit of work here and there, which has been wonderful. One of the things, which I'm going to jump straight in and tell you now, actually, is that I am officially now working with the Evewell Clinic. And what that looks like is they are going to be letting all of their patients who receive a positive pregnancy test know about me and the work that I do and about the podcast and that kind of thing. And this is off the back of, you might remember, the survey that I did last year asking fertility patients what support they received from their clinic having got a positive pregnancy test. And so many said that they just didn't receive any support. Now, you and I know that it is another stage of our fertility journey, and it's wonderful seeing those two lines and getting that positive test. However, sometimes the pregnancy and really accepting that we're pregnant and enjoying it can be a bit challenging. And so that's what we want to do. We want to make sure that people realize the support is there. And that might be listening to this podcast. It might be joining the hangout, joining the yoga sessions, coming over and finding us on Instagram and the whole community there. There's lots of different ways, but I'm really grateful to the Evewell for really recognizing that support is necessary and for collaborating with me. So that's fabulous. And hopefully lots more clinics will follow suit very, very soon. My guest today is the wonderful Good Luck Nick from Instagram. I've been following her for a while and she is just like a beacon of positivity, really. Like she says in our chat, it's not all positive. She tries to balance it, but she has got this most amazing outlook. And one of the things that within our conversation kind of was ringing true with some bits and pieces that I've been hearing over on Instagram is about thinking about the positives ultimately. And so many people are saying, oh, 2020 was such a negative year, such a bad year. But actually, there's a lot of good that came out of it. Like, you might be sitting there pregnant right now because of treatment you had in 2020. You might be holding your little miracle because you had them in 2020 and that's their birth year. There is a lot of good that is coming out of 2020. And we know that it was a struggle and lots of it was quite difficult. And some of that is still going to continue into 2021. But it's really lovely to look at the incredible things that are coming out of it too. And if you are listening to this because you had treatment last year that was successful, or because you're pregnant with your little miracle, not necessarily because of fertility treatment, 2021 is going to be the most amazing year for you. And you're going to watch and feel your little ones grow and give birth to them and bring them home. And yeah, it's going to be a very special one. And for those who have their little ones, like me, for example, watching the development of them each and every day is such a blessing. It really is. Just this morning, Ren was sitting on the floor and Bob was sat on the sofa and she was just resting her head on his knee. And each and every day, something special happens. Watching her crawl up the stairs, I think, oh, I often wondered, would I ever have a little one crawl up the stairs in front of me? So yeah, whether you are pregnant or parenting right now, I know that this year is going to be really very special and it's going to be up and down. And we are here to support you. This podcast is here. I am here. Come and find me if you need me. Okay. But for now, I'm going to hand over to the wonderful Nicole and she's going to tell you all about her trying to conceive and finally pregnant journey. Just before I go, last thing, please do subscribe, rate and review the podcast wherever you are listening. Thanks so much and a happy and healthy new year to you. Bye-bye. Hi there, Nick. How are you doing?
Hi, Kat. I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Oh, I'm very well. Well, actually, I'm not because we've just got a puncture. My Zoom won't record. It's the day before Christmas Eve and it's all gone to pot. But anyway, I'm fine. Other than that, we've got a smile on our faces, haven't we? And yeah. And it's just, yeah, it's such a pleasure to be chatting to you. So thank you so, so much for joining me. It would be amazing if you could introduce yourself a little bit to to all of my listeners. I followed you on Instagram and you're Good Luck Nick over there, aren't you?
I am.
For a good while. All the links to anything we mentioned will be in the show notes, as always. But yeah, I followed you for a while and I said to you just before we started recording that when people get pregnant that I've been following, I really hesitate before contacting them because I don't want to suddenly jump on people and say, will you be on my podcast? So I sit back and, like, you know, make sure they feel comfortable maybe. But I'm really, really excited to have contacted you and because I've been watching for a while and for you to join me. But yeah, tell us about yourselves.
It's great to be able to do a podcast like yours. Like we were saying before, just this is just so incredible to be able to get here. So I'm Nick or Nicole or Good Luck Nick on social media. Me and my husband had been trying for a baby for, it's coming up to 3 years as of now. So 2.5 by the time we got pregnant. And we ended up having IVF because my fallopian tubes are completely blocked. Why they are blocked, we never got an answer for. Our consultant never wanted to do any explorative surgery or anything. They're just kind of like, you're not in pain, so we're just going to send you for IVF. We started our IVF journey we signed the paperwork in October 2019. Then we started injections in November 2019. I had egg collection in December. And then I had to have a freeze all because I've got PCOS, which means I was potentially might be at risk for OHSS, which is overstimulation. And so that I had a bit of a gap and that was all fine. We went on holiday, we enjoyed Christmas, as you'd want to do. And after that, I was getting prepared to have my frozen embryo transfer and then COVID hit. So my round got cancelled. I was about a week away from my transfer. Literally, I was on the drugs. I was ready to go. and it got cancelled. So that was pretty heartbreaking. And that was in March 2020. And we then kind of campaigned for the clinics to come back open and everything else. Finally, my clinic decided to open. It was like one of the last ones in the country. And I was one of the first people back to have a transfer in July, and our first transfer worked and it was just amazing. And we are in December now and I'm currently 24 weeks pregnant.
That is amazing news. There's a lot we want to, I want to visit in particular, but right at the very beginning there. So you have got blocked tubes and you're concerned. And I know this is about being finally pregnant, but I just feel like I need to ask this question. Blocked tubes and your consultant didn't explore why or explore the option of unblocking them. You would have thought, like, I just, so often you hear, like, IVF isn't always the answer. IVF isn't always the answer. Is that where we should be, a lot of us? Is that where we should be pushed? And this is kind of one of the first examples almost how I've thought, really? Is it, was that the first option for you?
Yeah. So I'd had all the tests done. There was no like symptoms or signs of like endometriosis or anything like that. So other than the fact I had polycystic ovarian syndrome, there wasn't really anything. And then when I went for the HSG test, which is where they test your tubes, they tried about four or five times with different instruments to try and push the blockage out. And there was nothing. And they were kind of like, right, we think it's going to be this. We don't suggest going for surgery because eventually it can cause more blockage because of scarring. It may not work. You're young, you're this, that, and the other. We'll just send you for IVF. And for me at the time was heartbreaking to know that that was my only option. But also to me, it also felt like the quickest option, as in, if I was to go through surgery and go through this and go through that, and then nothing worked, and then I would have had to go to IVF anyway, it just felt like it cut that time down for me. And I know that there's some people out there that have got blocked tubes that have had them removed. I know there's people out there that have gone down the surgery route and it's been fine for them. But I was just never given that opportunity. But it's actually something that we've been talking about recently, thinking about going forward for another round eventually. I think I'd probably try and push for seeing if my tubes, seeing if there was any movement or seeing if there was any change before, because we used up our one NHS round for that one. And we will have to pay going forward. And before we kind of put our money down, I'd like to know that that is the option. That is the only option. So it'll be definitely a question that I will ask next time for sure. When we've had the baby and whatever going forward. Yeah. So it is a funny one. It is a funny one. A lot of people say that to me. Why are the tubes blocked? What are they blocked with? I'm like, I don't know.
That's the thing with so much of this, isn't it? That like there's no explanation. That's like one of the hugest issues so many of us face. But it sounds like they had done a bit more investigation than I had initially thought and made that decision. And I guess you're right completely that you wouldn't necessarily know the outcome of what was going to happen. And actually what you wanted was just to crack on and try for a baby. So I totally, you know, kind of respect that decision. And, but really interesting that you might, you know, investigate further afterwards. But
I think it's worth asking the question. They might go, no, they're blocked, that's it. But if that's the case, then that's fine. But I'd like to ask and know that I've tried asking, you know.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. So COVID as well, what a nightmare. Like I was talking to Lucy and Amy, our big gay journey, recently for one of my episodes. And yeah, they had a similar thing with clinics closing. Like it was only, and I say only, a few weeks, but the unknown, because we didn't know how many weeks it was going to be, months, all of that. And it was a long old few weeks as well. Like how did you feel? How did you get through that?
It was horrendous. Like it was like one of the most heartbreaking moments that I've been through on my fertility journey. We were so close. Like I was on the drugs. We were having the transfer the following week. I was due to go in for my scan to check my lining was thick enough, and then for them to give me the date for the transfer 3-4 days later. And I had the phone call to say it had been cancelled and they didn't know what was going to happen and everything else. And I'm not a crier or a getting upset person, but that was just, it just broke me that day. Like Mark was at work, my husband, and I had to phone him and tell him. And I didn't want him to be upset on a job, and it was just horrendous. So we decided to take the day, and well, that when he got back that evening, we just got into bed and just sat and vegged and ate rubbish food and just watched crap telly and did just nothing. And then I was like, right, okay, this is what's happening. This is happening to a lot of people, I understand. And what can we do? And what is in our power now to move forward and change our mindset? And what can we focus on? What are things that are in our power that we can actually make a difference on right now? And that's what I focused on. So trying to help out with the ITV campaign and stuff, like the people that were trying to get the clinics reopen and get the MPs to look at it. And also my fitness journey and stuff, I concentrated back on that and things like that. We were just lucky that I say lucky, it's you have to see the good in it, you have to. But the weather was nice and, you know, we could get outside and do things. And yes, we were in lockdown, but we live like close to a nice park and we've got woods nearby and stuff, so we could get out walking and do different things. It was just trying to do what we could do to keep us going, really. Because, it, like you said, it is an unknown and it was an unknown. We didn't know how long they were going to stay shut for. And for me, it was from March to July that I started going back to the clinic. So it was quite a long time. And that was the first appointment. And I know there was people before that that were going back and that was amazing. But it was also like seeing pregnancy announcements. It was like, oh, these people are going back and we aren't going back. What can I do? We even looked at moving the embryos. Like we looked at moving clinics and it would have cost us, we would have lost our round, we would have forfeited the round, and it would have been thousands and thousands of pounds for the transfer. And it was just, you just try and look into every option to just make yourself feel better. And there wasn't anything we could do, really. And then kind of, I was poking the bear, really, by saying, I'm going to move. And then I ended up speaking to the people at the top in the hospital, and they were then giving me the correct answers and the answers I needed to go forward. But yeah, COVID's ruined a lot of people's lives this year.
It has been so hard, hasn't it? And like one of the key things from what you said there is control what we can control. And that is the case in this new world that all of us are living now, but also when we're going through fertility journeys as absolutely. Well. Like I remember my dad saying that to me when I was in amongst mine. And for me, it was the food and the fitness and that kind of thing, really. And yeah, it just is such a hard time. And the COVID thing, it's just compounding so much again of what going through a fertility journey is, which is not knowing and waiting and not knowing and waiting on repeat, on repeat, on repeat, isn't it? So yeah, that's just so unfair that so many people had to go through that. It really is. But then we got to the end of it. Your clinic finally opened in July. Like that's not weeks, that is months, isn't it?
Yeah,
that was a really long one.
Ages. Ours is a big hospital in the Midlands. It was the Birmingham Women's Hospital. So it's where a lot of people go for their fertility treatment, but it's also a regular hospital too. So the nurses had been distributed to be used on the front lines and stuff, which I completely understand. Our NHS is amazing and they do amazing things for us. So they had no staff. They then had to, because it was an NHS hospital, there was no private rooms. So for the egg collection recovery rooms, they were like curtains. So they weren't socially distant. So it took a while to put protocols in place and put the new things in place for them to apply to the HFEA to reopen. But the people that were just having transfers, like me, who was going in and leaving, we didn't need egg collection, we didn't need this, that and the other. It was quite frustrating to have to wait for that, but we got there in the end, and I do appreciate what the NHS have done for us.
Absolutely, you're so right. And in your case, it was 100% worth the wait, wasn't it? Because absolutely. Then you had your 2-week wait, which we all know how excruciatingly hard they are. And then you got your positive. Tell us about that moment when you got your positive test.
So we had booked, like, in the summer, obviously, the rules had relaxed a little bit and we were allowed to kind of move around a little bit more freely. So Mark and I had booked, like, a shepherd's hut on Airbnb down by the sea. And so we went away for a long weekend, and our official test day wasn't supposed to be until the Wednesday when we got home. But I was getting a bit itchy and I wanted to test. I hadn't taken any tests to not dangle the carrot. You know, I didn't want to have any, you know, shall we just do it? And then a Sunday afternoon in the middle of nowhere, essentially, where the pharmacies were all shut, we were like, yeah, we want a test. So we had to go everywhere to try and find a test. We were like, but they said we need to use one with the pink dye, not the blue dye. And it was trying to find something. So I ended up buying like just a really rubbish one from just a pharmacy. And then the Monday morning, we were like, right, we're gonna do it in the shepherd's hut. And I've recorded this. It's on my YouTube channel if you haven't seen it. It's we tested, it was about 6 a.m. and you know, you can't sleep. Like Christmas morning, it's like that. I got up and put the kettle on, got some coffee ready and went and peed on the stick, came back, wrapped it in tissue and kind of sat it there. We put the camera up and we were recording. And we're like, so how are we gonna do this? And I was like, I'll hold the test. Or one of us held the test and one of us slid the toilet roll off. And at first, I saw it straight away, the two lines. But I think, you know, when you know what you're looking for. Whereas Mark was like, do you think? I was like, friend, yes, this is two lines. Come on. And I think he didn't want to, like, get himself excited before it was too soon. And I just, like, was like, oh, my God. I just couldn't believe it. My whole 2 week wait, I had been confident it was going to be positive because to me, I was manifesting, I was getting that good energy out there, you know, just for us, we wanted to enjoy the 2 weeks. We wanted to, if those 2 weeks were our only 2 weeks where we were completely happy and we thought it had worked or thought, you know, the best, we were thinking the best out of the situation rather than having two miserable weeks and then it being negative. We had two good weeks. If it was negative, we'd had two good weeks. Nobody could take that away from us. So testing and finding out it was positive, it was just the best feeling in the world. Honestly, I just cried. I just cried and cried and cried for ages. So many ugly photos. It was great.
Oh, I love that. I love that you have that on camera. That is amazing. That really is. And I also love the fact that you just thought, yeah, those 2 weeks. And I have said this before and I will say it again very quickly. I've received messages from people saying that, you know, exactly like that, like I was pregnant for those 2 weeks. And in this instance, or in one particular instance, they did get a negative, but they had that 2 weeks where they didn't eat soft cheese and they didn't do this and they didn't. And that was no one, exactly like you say, no one can take that away from you. And that is really a kind of attitude, I guess, that I always encourage people to take throughout their pregnancies.
Yeah.
Because the way that I always felt was if I was going to fall because it all went wrong, I was gonna fall hard, irrelevant of what had gone before, really. And so as much as possible, it is celebrating. And I've said it again, like a million times, today I'm pregnant and enjoying that as much as possible, because we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. And we want to hold on to all the goodness. So I love that that's what, how you saw yourself through your 2 week way. And so then what happened? Because from my point of view, we got, and we'd been through, you know, a slightly different journey, but we got the positive and so, so excited. But quite quickly afterwards, like my anxiety did kick in. How did you fare over the next 2-3 weeks up until your first scan?
That was the hardest part for me. Like those few weeks between the positive pregnancy test and the first scan was just agonizing. To me, that was the worse than the 2 week wait, because you're almost there. You think you're there, but are you there? And it's just a really confusing time because people talk so much about the two-week wait. No one talks about the next 2 week wait. Not many people talk about that. And to me, that was a really tough time. I probably took about 10 pregnancy tests in that two, three weeks. And then also because of COVID, Mark wasn't allowed to come to the hospital with me for the scan. So we ended up booking a private scan a couple of days prior to that, because either way I wanted him to see what I saw. I wanted him to go through what I was going through at that moment. I didn't want to find out on my own if it had or hadn't worked, or if we hadn't got to the 7 week mark or whatever. So we went to a private scan at 6 weeks and 5 days, and there it was there, and the heartbeat was there, and we heard the heartbeat, which was really lucky because I know a lot of people on an early scan don't get that opportunity, and that made it so real. But the anxiety in between was real, and it was hard to, that felt like the longest 3 weeks. I'd say this last 5 months has gone faster than those 3 weeks do, because you're overthinking everything, and because it's your first pregnancy, you're kind of like, Is this normal? I'm not feeling any symptoms. Is this normal? And you are overthinking everything. And I think that's really normal. And I think people need to know that that is a really normal thing to go through and feel.
I totally agree. And so often I say to people, like, go and listen to the very first episode of my podcast. If you can't kind of bring yourself to listen to all of them or any others, like, go to that one and just hear me talk about exactly that.
Yeah.
Because I want people to know that that's normal. And you're completely right. The 2 week wait, it's brilliant that we talk about that and we all know how hard that is. But yeah, the next couple of weeks afterwards, they really are tough because you're like, is it in the right place? Is it, you know,
It is, because sometimes people go through that alone, but we'd already told everybody. Like, we'd already told our families and our closest friends by that point that it had worked. And then to kind of think, oh, but then if it hasn't worked, then how do you tell people that? Like, and I know that people have to go through that sometimes, and like in those horrible scenarios in baby loss and things like that. Those 3 weeks, those things go through your mind, because some people obviously go through it alone and just in their couple, and you can talk about things so much, but I think a problem shared is problem halved, and it definitely is. But you do question yourself thinking, should I have told these people yet, because I'm going to have to tell them if it has or hasn't worked either way. And I think I've thought about everything from both sides the whole way through. Like, I filmed the pregnancy test knowing that it might have been negative, and knowing that I would have shared that also because that's real life. And I wanted to show that, you know, yes, Instagram and everything on social media is people's best bits, but I didn't want it to be that, because that's not life. That's not the real life. That's, you know, we're all going through these things. You know, people get pregnant all the time, but people lose babies all the time too. And it's not, you know, and I think it needs to be talked about more and more easily.
Completely. And I think that the trying to conceive and baby loss community are doing amazing, kind of honest work around that. And I say work, it's not really work, is it? It's us, you know, like so many people sharing their lives, how, no matter, I guess I should say, how big their specific community is. This might be someone that's sharing with a handful within the trying to conceive community. It might be someone who's got 150,000 followers. You know, it is about that reality and that support. And I agree that it can put a certain pressure on when you share good news, because you are thinking, oh my goodness, am I going to, well, this is my, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but certainly for me, I was thinking, I don't want to let people down if something goes wrong at some point. Now, obviously, I'm not letting anyone down. Like, that's not something I'm going to have done. And also, we need to remember that I would have needed that support. So whether I told people or not, I would like to think that, God forbid, something had happened. And I'm trying to think back to when it did happen, you know, and we did miscarry previously. I wasn't on Instagram for either of those occasions. But even where I miscarried within my successful pregnancy because we lost one of the twins, I guess I took a bit of time myself first.
Yeah.
And then I shared, because I did need that support, and we do need that support, don't we? So I do think it's important, at whatever point we talk about it, make sure that we do have people around us, for sure.
Definitely. I think the people put so much pressure on themselves to keep it a secret till 12 weeks because there's this golden 12 week rule that people keep their mouths shut. But why? Like, why would you want to go through that on your own? Like, the first trimester is so hard anyway. But if you went through a loss on top of that, why would you want to deal with that on your own? I don't, like, to me, I'm a really open person. If you know me and you follow me and stuff, you'll know that I don't not say anything, you know, and that is just so bizarre to me that people choose to keep it a secret or keep it between themselves or just themselves to avoid shame, I suppose, about baby loss and miscarriage and stuff. I suppose that's the only thing. You know, because surely having somebody to tell makes you feel less alone. And I think that's my whole thing about sharing everything, is I've not felt alone once in this entire journey, you know. And I understand that everybody has a different way of looking at it, and that is completely your right and everything. But I feel that the pressure that people put on themselves to be silent until after 12 weeks is a tough one to carry, I think, on your own. You know, it could be a tough one if you do worry and you are a stressed person, like if you're an anxious person, you know, it could be a really stressful time for you, and you don't want that on top of everything else that going through the first trimester is.
No, it is so hard. And I'm like you, and, you know, I am very open. I know that there are some people who can't for various reasons or don't want to. But what I do hope, and I know to a degree, is because of people like you being open, even if people don't tell anyone, because they're watching people like you and so many others who are, you know, telling the real story, that instantly helps them not feel alone, even if they're not in a position where they can or they want to share their news. So, and I'd like to think that people know that my inbox is always open. Yeah. I have no doubt that your inbox is always open, so that people, even if they can't share with their friends and family, you know, there are people that people can reach out to.
And this community is amazing. Like we're just so lucky to be in a generation to have so many people around us around the world that we can all support each other through whatever we're going through. You know, it's not just baby loss and infertility and everything else, it's anything really. You can, there's a community out there for everything, and we're so lucky to be in an era where social media is so prevalent and we can use it and utilize it and connect with so many people.
Yeah, you're so right. And I know it does get a bad rap, and it's got some bad things that, you know, but there is so much positivity and so much that's come out of it. I completely agree, you're so right. And one of those is you and your, you know, your vlogs, and one of the ones that is, it might be shared actually by the time this podcast goes out, in which case, you lucky listeners, because you can head straight over and have a look, but is that you have decorated your nursery, haven't you? But it's a surprise. And I am so excited. So tell us about, so you're 24 weeks.
Yes.
So tell us about, you know, bringing stuff into the house and how you felt about, like, have you been excited straight after your first scan? Has it all been swimming since then? Or how have you managed through?
I have been excited from day one, but I'm like a 4-year-old, like, most of the time. So being super excited about things and making the most of things and seeing the best in things is just part of my personality anyway. So me and Mark we had to really rein it in to start with. We were like, we won't buy much yet. And then it was kind of like, right, we're going to just start ordering bits, and it was like kind of getting bits, and now I've got a box full of stuff, and we haven't got anywhere to put it yet because our wardrobes are out of stock. But yeah, the room that we've done up as the nursery is coming together. I can't wait to show everyone, because it's always been my favorite room in the house. It just seems to get the best lighting, but it's now like really my favorite room in the house. It's just like, you know, when you can kind of picture things in your head, it's what I pictured and more. Like, I just love it so much. And we haven't even got like the artwork up and the bits for the walls up yet, you know. But we built the cot the other day, which was just a huge milestone. And they're just things you never think you're going to be able to get to when you're on a journey like ours. And yeah, to be able to sit there building a flat pack cot was just incredible milestone. Just amazing.
You do pinch yourself, don't you? And if you're anything like me, like, I still pinch myself today. Ren is over 18 months and I still just squeeze her so tight and pinch myself. And I was following Ren up the stairs the other day, and I did say it to my husband. I was like, there's so many times I walked up these stairs and thought, will a little one ever be going up and down them? And, you know, like, so it's just, yeah, that will keep going. That will keep going. But anyway, we'll move on, because hopefully that will have got that the first time. So, yeah, so that's really exciting. Your nursery's all sorted. Have you been thinking about the birth and birth plan, anything like that?
Kind of. We've got, in the ideal world, and I know that the world isn't ideal and not everything goes to plan and goes smoothly, but I would like a water birth. That's always like being by the sea and in the water and in the port, like, we've just been like those people since we were children, like me and my sisters. But being in the water just makes me so calm, and it's just such a peaceful place for me. I mean, I'm sure it won't be peaceful, but if I can be as relaxed as possible, that's the bonus. And, you know, for whatever reason, if I can't get in the pool or whatever, it's just going to be what it's going to be. And I'm just really looking forward to it. There's no part of me that's nervous about giving birth at the moment. And I don't think there will. I don't think that will change now. I follow some amazing doulas and birth photographers on Instagram, and I've watched birth videos and seen birth photos, and they don't scare me at all. And I know there's people out there that are like, oh my God, I can't believe I'm going to have to push a baby out. I don't know what I'm going to do, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, you knew this when you were trying for a baby. This was coming. Like, that's how I felt about it. Like, this is not a news. Like, I knew this was coming, and I'm just, it just doesn't scare me at all. I don't know whether I'm being naive, but...
It doesn't matter. One way or another, you're going to give birth. I'd say go in with that attitude. I've always thought how giving birth is such a miracle. Like, this is going back kind of years and years and years and years, before I was even thinking about having babies, like how amazing it is. But I've always thought about how there must be this kind of sense of impending doom, you know, because this baby's getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and you know it's going to come out, but you don't quite know how it's going to come out. And I think I felt like about a bit like that, about the unknown, just like, oh, I wasn't scared per se, but I was just a bit, yeah, like what
happened?
Is it going to look like? Like, what are the next few days going to look like? What exactly that? So, but no, it's wonderful. And you mentioned their birth photographers. Yeah. I hadn't really come across that before I'd had Ren. And oh, there'd be something really special, I think, about getting that all photographed.
If it wasn't COVID, I would definitely have had one, because I think the photos that you can get are so spectacular. But I plan on trying to like film as much as possible and like taking photos along the way. But I think if I can set a tripod up and just let it record, and then I'll take stills from that, that's my plan. Because I don't like, I've tried to never let Instagram and YouTube interfere with my real life, like my day-to-day life. It never, Mark doesn't see it really. It doesn't interfere with our life. So if I can set a camera up and let it record and just pick up what it picks up, then great. You know, as long as it doesn't interrupt, I'm not going, oh, can you, you're in the way, nurse, can you just move over a bit, you're blocking my shot. Like,
I can only imagine the response that you would get for that.
They'd probably push it over just in spite, wouldn't they? But yeah, I'm sure there's people that have asked for worse, but I'm just looking forward to it. The birth photography and the people that get these amazing shots are just incredible. Like, women are amazing for giving birth, and what the body does and everything. I just, so much respect for everybody that's ever had a baby.
Yeah, it is. It's such a, and I know that people have such traumatic births as well, but in my instance, like, I was, and it didn't come without a little bit of drama there towards the end. There was definitely a panic. But oh my gosh, I look back on it and even going through it, like, with such romance, I absolutely loved it. I really did. Particularly, I was induced for several days because of technicalities, and you can listen to my birth episode for kind of the full lowdown on that. But particularly once we'd got into the delivery suite for me, like, that was just everything. I would do it a million times over. I absolutely loved it. I really do. My husband, totally different point of view, but anyway, I guess that's what they call hormones. But one thing before we go, Nicole, I really want to ask you about something you mentioned much earlier on when you were talking, and actually we did touch upon it before we even started recording. You are already like thinking about, maybe not actively, but it's something that you're very conscious of, and I think that that's normal in this community, but about trying again. Like, you're 24 weeks pregnant and you've already got half a mind about like what, where baby number two is coming from.
Yeah.
How does that make you feel? Does that stress you out? Does that piss you off? Does it, you know, how does that make you feel?
I try not to like worry about it, because everybody's journey to get their baby is different. You know, if we were going to try, if we were normal, and I'm using air quotations for everybody on the podcast, if this was a normal situation, we'd just be like, yeah, we'll just try and that's it. But I am aware that that isn't the case for us. That's not our path. So for us, we go, yeah, we're going to try. It's going to take us 18 months, but yeah, fine. We can start putting wheels in motion, start asking for prices, kind of start thinking about which hospital or which clinic we're going to go through IVF with again, you know, and think about things like that. And then also, as I said before, because I had the freeze all round and the gap, that's another thing that is on my mind. So if when I do stims, I'm not going to get a transfer straight away because the chance of me getting OHSS or being at risk of it again for them to want to give me a freeze all round and a break is probably quite high. So even the people that start their stims, get transfer, fresh transfer, they're done and dusted within, what, month, 6 weeks? That won't be the case for me. So even if we did start stims at a certain time, it'd probably be another 3-4 months after that I'll get a transfer if the world is running smoothly, which it wasn't for me the first time around. And yeah, it's kind of going to be one of those things that we're just thinking about because we don't want it to creep up on us and the baby get to, you know, like 1, 2 and us have not even thought about it, or then being there's a year waiting list or whatever else. I don't know. There might be a waiting list because of the people that were backlogged from the COVID thing anyway. I don't know how quickly they've been able to clear that up. So yeah, there are definitely going to be questions that I'm going to want to ask, you know, once my body's recovered and everything else. I'm one of three and Mark's one of four. So to have more than one, if we can, you know, if the universe allows us and my body allows us and the embryos allow us, we'd love to try and have another baby if we can. So yeah, it's definitely on our minds and it's definitely something that we've been talking about and trying to not put into action yet, but definitely have a conversation about how and when we would like to go forward with it.
Yeah, I love your attitude to that. I really do. Like, this is, it's quite, you know, you've just accepted that this is your situation and you're gonna, you know, go ahead positively from there and quite pragmatically, you know, thinking about it and the plans. And you're absolutely right. Like, will there be this ongoing impact that COVID is going to have over the next few years? We don't know. Like, things are changing daily at the moment. So I really, yeah, I do. I love your attitude. It's something that I've only been thinking about really recently. Like, I guess I always thought, you know, we'd have to have IVF to have a second if we're going to.
Yeah.
But about the age gap and things.
Yeah.
And like that kind of, you know, that's only newly, freshly, which, like, that might be ridiculous. People might think, oh my god, weren't you like planning that all along? But yeah, it's something that you do really need to give thought to, because, and especially as you're saying, because you'd have to go through another round and then take that break so that your body could settle. Yeah. and so yeah, like I think it's great that you're thinking ahead and planning, and as you say, asking the questions now so that you feel prepared for as and when that time comes. But for now, the focus is on this little one. Now, you do know what you're having, don't you?
I do. We found out on my birthday, we were having lockdown birthday, so we thought the best way to make it special was to find out the gender, and we found out that day that we are having a little boy, which is bizarre because I've got only got sisters, so having a boy in the house, I'm like, oh, what do I do with a little boy? I'm sure we'll figure it out very quickly, but I'm thrilled. I'm so excited.
Oh, it's wonderful. It really is wonderful. And anyone can come and follow you and watch those videos. And hopefully, yes, by the time this goes live, they will be able to head straight over and see your nursery. Genuinely, oh, I genuinely mean that I can't wait to see it.
I'm like trying to, I did a house tour vlog recently and I did pan around in there, but I put it in black and white so nobody could see the colours or like anything. I'm like, I really want to try and keep it secret from everybody because I don't want it to be a half done job. I want you to see it kind of done.
Yeah. Oh, I think it's exciting. Like, genuinely, I am excited to see it. I think it's fun. And I love that you are grabbing all of these experiences and not letting the anxiety, like, which I'm sure does creep in here and there throughout, you know, like that's not taking over. You are enjoying as much as you can. And that's so special.
Definitely. There are days, like, don't get me wrong, even as a positive person, you do have days where you do worry and think, is this normal? You know, at the beginning I was quite worried about the size of my bump and stuff and different things, but I've learned on this journey, as we all do on our own journeys, that it is so individual. Pregnancy, like IVF, everything we go through in life is our own, and not to worry or not to compare to others, but it takes time to learn that. And if you're in a place where you feel like you're looking at somebody else going, well, they're the same point as me and they're feeling kicks, or they're, you know, they've done this, that and the other and you haven't, don't worry about it. This is your journey. This is all about you and your baby. And try not to compare to others, because it is the thief of joy.
It really is. Oh my gosh. And I think that even the strongest of us has moments, don't we? And especially being kind of heavily involved with social media, it can be really, really tough. So, and the whole, like, yeah, the journey trying to conceive, I often said something that I haven't thought about for a while, actually. So I don't know if I'm going to get this out very succinctly. I will try. But about how if I can't, like, so we started trying to conceive in 2012. I can't even imagine how many babies were born between 2012 and 2019 when we finally had Ren. But irrelevant of how many babies were born, Ren was still there and is still here, you know, like, so because someone else is having a baby, that isn't taking your one away. Like, you know, it's really, really hard. It is. And I know that people listen to this podcast when they are trying, because they want to hear the hope and they want to hear stories like yours, Nyx. And it's just, you know, that is so inspiring. Like, you people inspire me so much that you, because I couldn't do that. I switched off. Often when people got pregnant, I switched off, unless I had a kind of relationship with them already, because I was protecting myself and I was protecting my future self on days where actually that would have been really hard to take. This is not about comparison. This is not about, you know, like, it's happened to someone else, so it's not going to happen to me. Like, hopefully all of your babies are out there waiting in the wings, and you're listening to this getting prepped so that you know what to do when you are pregnant, for sure. And yeah, I just want to say thank you so much, and I'm looking forward to seeing you. You've booked onto our yoga sessions, haven't you?
We're looking forward to that.
Very excited. Like, the space that we've created there is just, it is really special. And I can say that from my point of view, and also from the feedback we've had from other people as well. So I'm really, really looking forward to that. And if anyone is listening and thinking about doing pregnancy yoga, and who knows where we'll be even when this goes out, as far as lockdown and things are concerned, it is all online, so it's all very safe. It's an amazing community for people who are finally pregnant. And so head over to catstrawbridge.com to check that out, and we look forward to seeing you there for sure. And where can they find you? So it's Good Luck Nyx on Instagram and
YouTube also. So I'm on Facebook as well, less active over there, but also Good Luck Nyx everywhere, pretty much.
Fabulous. Thank you so, so much for joining me for our chat today. It's been an absolute pleasure.
It's been lovely.
All right then. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.